Continuing our sermon series today on our book about prayer and different inspirational people over the centuries. And today we're going to look at Saint Benedict. And the first question of my sermon is, what do Benedict of Nursia, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young and Jesus have in common? They all said, love the one you're with. If you want to have the spiritual life, if we want to truly be apprentices to Jesus, we have to be intentional about it. Living a life of obedience and worship to God, and being truthful, kind and just to our neighbours. Benedict set out a way to do this in community with his rule, which has been valued as wisdom literature and as a habit for 15 centuries. Two of my favourite disciples of Jesus are Benedictines. Sister Joan Chittister, herself at one time a prioress, has written excellent books on the divine feminine, on the common good, and on living the life of a prophet. Christopher Jameson was the abbot at Worth Monastery, which featured on the BBC series The Monastery. It introduced a number of guests to the Benedictine way of life. As friars are part of society and seek to care for people, animals and the environment, so Benedictines cannot escape the rigours of loving their neighbour. The rule of Benedict has elements to guide every area of daily life within a monastic community, such as praying the daily office, working in the house, garden, or at a trade or craft, feeding and resting the community, welcoming guests, and studying the Bible and other helpful texts. It also guides people on how to deal with one another. It therefore has much to teach the other communities in our life. It can be used to teach us how to relate to all the groups with which we interact. Our family, the ones we talk to, and the ones we have fallen out with. Our church, those who have got it right, and those blooming liberals, or conservatives, on the other side. Our spouse or partner. Our work colleagues. We might actually spend more time with them than any other group. So what does Benedict teach that is most beneficial? First, humility and dependence on a loving God. If we have successes, it is because of God's creation and God's grace. If we have failures, it is because of our inability or unwillingness to listen to God and do what God asks. Dependence on God requires regular reading or listening to the scriptures and other helpful writings on the spiritual life. Have you got your life arranged so this priority is attended to? Dependence on God also requires periods of silence so that God can get a word in. Hearing from God is important in everyone's life, not just special people occasionally, but we need to listen out for and attend to that still small voice. Have you carved out some time for silence and oneness with God? Dispensing with shopping list prayers and being still. When I visited Mount St. Bernard's Monastery with my AA group, I found that they practiced the greater silence, and this occurs from after Compline until after breakfast, which felt like a very long time to me, especially eating my Weetabix without saying a word. In the series The Monastery, which is worth a watch if you can find the time, the guests found silence very difficult. They wanted to fill it with music or novels or a sneaky chat or phone call. They needed guidance and support from the abbot to be able to persevere and improve. It's a great time to practice this during the isolation of lockdown. From whom can you get guidance? As part of dependence on God, Benedict also taught obedience to our leaders. The abbot was to be respected and loved as the representative of Christ. The abbot's job was to care for each member of the community as Christ would, with truthfulness, justice, and kindness. We might adopt a similar attitude towards leaders at home, at church, or in the workplace. Instead of choosing not to follow their words because they do not perfectly follow them themselves, we are urged to take the good from their words and practice that. We need to recognise that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of the Lord. Instead of saying, hypocrite, we might prefer to practice not giving everyone the benefit of our judgmental opinion. The second part of Benedict's important teaching was to grow in love as a disciple of Christ as we lived in community. Monks were required to take vows. The first was of obedience and dependence on God, as we have already been considering. The other vows have considerable impact on community life. The vow of stability and the vow of conversion of manners. Stability meant that they would stay in the same community, being faithful to it, much like in a marriage vow. Conversion of manners meant being made over and given a heart of flesh instead of stone. Being willing to learn and be changed as a person as character defects emerged. Being forgiving of others and supportive of their change and development. Praying for those who have wronged us and wishing them no harm in return. If used in such a way, community life can be used to sandpaper the rough edges off people and bring unity and peace. What if we applied the rule of stability to our marriage? We're committed to our wife, even if our neighbour is more thin and pretty. We turn off the soaps and listen to our husband talking about his day. What if we applied it to our church? Andy might give more time to his son than church admin at times. But didn't we agree with him that we were all excited by our Psalm 68 vision? Instead of looking for the perfect church, could we work on being a better disciple of Christ while attending the one where we already go? And what about our manners? Does what we hear from God change our lives? Here are a few pointers from the rule in chapter 4, which is titled Tools for Good Works. Benedict writes, first of all, love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Then the following. You are not to kill, not to commit adultery, You are not to steal nor to covet. You are not to bear false witness. You must honour everyone and never do to another what you do not want done to yourself. You must relieve the lot of the poor, clothe the naked, visit the sick, and bury the dead. Go to help the troubled and console the sorrowing. It's no wonder that Benedict comes across as a bit strict. But if love is all you need, we better attend to how to love properly. Knowing that it's a hopeless undertaking without God on our side. How much of our life, our words, our actions, our entertainment is quite without love? Political discourse is often poisonous. Soaps are full of adultery, false witness, and even murder. Getting on at work is sometimes about climbing the greasy pole where ambition is more important than working together for the good of the company and our service users. Family life is more often than not awash with blame and unforgiveness. In community of various kinds, we must convert our own manners. We cannot afford to wait for others to do it first. We need to believe that Jesus is worth following, and we must be seriously intentional about converting our own thoughts, words, and deeds in the way of love. What one thing can you take away from today's talk to convert your manners? Has God revealed something to you? I am working on not talking to others when I am upset with someone. I am trying to go to them privately and put things right between us. Some things I have put forward today feel too hard for me. I am a work in progress. If they are hard for you, be consoled and guided and comforted by Holy Spirit, who is so willing to help us. And find someone to talk about your innermost thoughts and troubles. With Benedict's way, you are never alone. And if you find this talk too pokey, don't go there with Kyo's homework from last week. That's some scary stuff. I might feel called to a life of love, but you can keep your vow of poverty. Amen.